Hello, this is Brother Denny. Welcome to Charity Ministries. Our desire is that your life would be blessed and changed by this message. This message is not copyrighted and is not to be bought or sold. You are welcome to make copies for your friends and neighbors. If you would like additional messages, please go to our website for a complete listing at www.charityministries.org. If you would like a catalog of other sermons, please call 1-800-227-7902 or write to Charity Ministries, 400 West Main Street, Suite 1, Ephrata, PA, 17522. These messages are offered to all without charge by the free will offerings of God's people. A special thank you to all who support this ministry.
Are you excited about the Lord this morning?
Amen.
Praise God. I am too. I am also very much grateful that God in His mercy saved my soul. I'd like everybody to stand just for a couple minutes. Let's stand to our feet. I'll give you a little test to begin here this morning. If you got to bed by 9 o'clock, I'd like you to sit down. If you got to bed by 10 o'clock, I'd like you to sit down. If you got to bed by 11 o'clock, I'd like you to sit down. If you got to bed by midnight, I'd like you to sit down. You can sit down. Just having a little fun. No spankings. Now let's stand and pray before the Lord. God, we bow before You. We stand before Your throne. We are hiding underneath Your wings this morning. And oh, we rejoice in the security of the secret place of the Most High God. Thank You, Father, for all these dear young people. I love them, Lord. I want them to prosper, every one of them, Father. Thank You, Lord, that we can have fun. It's okay. Laughing is good. Good natural humor is good, Lord. Thank You for that. And we thank You for the blood of Jesus this morning. That precious blood. Father, we ask You again today as we have. We're asking You and trusting You that You would bind the enemy. Every spirit, every evil spirit that would hinder, block, blind, lie to any of these young people this morning. God, You know who that is as we sit here in this meeting. You know who it is that they would like to stop them from hearing today. I pray, God, keep us all under the blood and bind the enemy. And fill me with the Holy Ghost, Lord. For we know that the anointing breaks the yoke. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Couple of things just from yesterday that I wanted to just bring. You know, questions came after the meeting, and one was that about horoscopes. I think that a horoscope is a very dangerous thing, and we as God's people we should disdain the thing. You may see it in a newspaper somewhere, but if I see it in a newspaper, I disdain it. I wouldn't look at that thing. I wouldn't give it the time of day. That's how I feel about horoscopes. They're dangerous. They can lead you into bondage. And number two, it was asked about the computer game. Someone said you spoke about the video arcades and all that. What about the computer games? I think it's the same way. And maybe we face that more in this room because probably many of you have a computer in your home and you may have fallen into the trap of the computer games, and there are some deadly games, but frankly, I can't see how a soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ could waste any time on that nonsense. Thought I'd pay my respect to that. But some of those games are also dangerous. And I thought this morning in my meditations, you know, if you really want a challenge, if you want the challenge of your life, young people, come fight in a war where you cannot see with these eyes. You want a challenge? You want a game? You want to see if you can master something? You come fight in a war that you can't see with these eyes, but one that has been promised to you, victory over the enemy. You enlist in that war. Get right. Learn the rules. Learn to fight. And engage in the enemy. Leave that other nonsense behind. Let that for the heathen who don't understand anything about God and eternity and the Lord Jesus Christ and heaven and hell. Leave the games for them. Let's engage the enemy, young people. And lastly, just kind of reflecting yesterday, I want to just say a couple words about anger. If you find yourself struggling with anger, you just get angry all the time, you just park a while on unforgiveness and bitterness, because many, many times it is out of unforgiveness and bitterness that anger spews out in a person's life. Not always, but many times. All right, we're going to move ahead with the specific bondages as we are teaching here today. And we'll be here till noon, I know, because of what I need to cover. But the first one that I would like to speak about this morning is the bondage of rebellion. I wanted to share that one yesterday. It fit with the ones that we were speaking about yesterday, but I just couldn't. It would have taken too much more time. 1 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 23, Samuel speaks these words to Saul, who, by the way, was rebelling. He said, "Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft." Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. And I want to encourage you young people, as you ponder that verse in your own meditations, don't take it lightly. Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and utter rebellion will bring torment into your life just like the sin of witchcraft. The depth of rebellion can open you up to major demonic activity. Listen to this. Saul was in rebellion. Where did his rebellion end? At the witch at Endor. Note that. That's where his rebellion ended. Why is this so? Why is this such a major issue? Why is it such a dangerous thing to go down the path of rebellion? Simply this. Devils understand the authority structures very well. They must live within them. To say, "I will not obey godly authorities," is saying, "I will," to the devil. Let me say that again. To say in your heart, "I will not obey my authorities," I will go my own way is to say I will to the devil. There are many sad stories on this one. Many. And the sad stories are sad stories of young people who grew up in Christian homes. I know of a young man. When he was 13 years old, he started struggling with rebellion in his heart. His dad made some mistakes. His dad wasn't very close to him. He made some mistakes. This boy started rebelling against his dad because he didn't like the way his dad was. At 13, this battle began to rage inside of him. Bitterness grew, and from that bitterness, by the age of 16, he utterly rebelled and cast off all restraint. His parents had no control over him. He did what he wanted. He went where he wanted. He became his own boss, and by the age of 17, young people, he literally invited Satan to come in and take control of his life, and Satan nearly destroyed this young man. Only by the grace and mercy of God and the weeping prayers of his parents was he salvaged from utter destruction. It is not a little issue. A young lady, her dad heard her. And you know, moms and dads do. They don't know everything. They don't have all the answers. Maybe they're not where they're supposed to be in their Christian life. Parents do hurt and disappoint their young people. This father did. This young lady allowed herself to get bitter by refusing to forgive. From that refusal to forgive, rebellion set into her heart. It shocked her, the things she contemplated doing. She never dreamed she would ever even think to do the things she was contemplating every day. What I'm going to do, what I'm going to do. Now, she had enough sense, this young lady, she had enough sense to not do those things. But what happened instead was deep depression settled down on this young lady. And for months, she was bombarded with hateful, degrading thoughts and just depressed and ready to just give up and who knows. In the whole thing, it happens. Why is rebellion so destructive? Let's turn to Isaiah and read there just a little bit in Isaiah chapter 14, where we have a very graphic illustration of the destruction of Lucifer. And we can see very clearly why he fell the way he fell. In Isaiah chapter 14 and verse 12, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High God. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pits." Now it's very clear what happened here. Satan, or Lucifer, that was his good name. Lucifer had a beautiful place in heaven. Ezekiel calls him the anointed cherub that covereth. He was a powerful cherub. A cherub full of light and many other things which we'll speak about later. But he said in his heart, I'm going to be in charge. It's interesting to me, you know, when He said, I will be like the Most High, He could have chosen many different names, which are names of the God of heaven, but He used the Most High, which is, I will be like the Sovereign One. I will be the One who is in charge. Well, that is exactly the root issue of every rebel. I will be the One who is in charge. Is that right? So you think you'll be the One who is in charge. I got news for you. You will not be the One who is in charge. That is a deception. This self-willed attitude is motivated by pride. Pride and rebellion go hand in hand. Some of you in this room this morning, you are rebelling against God even while you sit here at Bible school. He is trying to deal with you. He is calling you to surrender everything to Him, which, by the way, there is no other way, young people. There is no middle ground. And your obstinate heart is saying, I will be in charge of my life. That is a deception, dear young people. You will not be in charge of your life. Now, I desire to warn you, not to scare you. I'm not talking about a minor struggle here now. I understand you young people, you're living in a real world. Mom and dad are not perfect moms and dads. And you're learning what it means to be under authority. And God bless you as you're learning to walk through that. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about those who decide to give up the whole thing and just go their own way. Those are the ones that I'm pleading with this morning. Remember, the progression into bondage is gradual. Somewhere along the line, the heart boldly will say, I will. And that is a dangerous I will to make. When you do that with all the light that you have, you align yourself with Satan and his kingdom, who did the same thing with all the light that he had. And that is a dangerous thing to do, young people. See, sometimes young people, they live in an unreality. You know, they think they can just do whatever they want and get by. That you think you can grow up in a Christian home and have been going to church and sitting in family devotions all your days, and here you are, maybe 17, 18, 19, all those years with all that light, and you think, well, I'm just going to go have a fling. No, you won't just go have a fling. I'm telling you, you'll come back on crutches. If you come back at all. When that heart says boldly, I will do what I want to do. I will be the boss of my life. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. You align yourself up with the devil and his whole kingdom. And that's a dangerous thing to do. On one side, we have God is my sovereign. On the other side, we have Satan is sovereign. And the middle, the people that are deceived think there's a place in the middle called I am my sovereign. But there isn't. There is no place in the middle, young people. It is a deception of the enemy to make you think that you can live in the middle. No, God is not my sovereign, but oh, I want nothing to do with this devil over here. I just want to kind of live my own life. That is a deception, young people. Many have been trapped by that deception and found themselves in utter bondage at the end. Either God is your sovereign, or Satan will be your sovereign. You can mark it down. Repent. Renounce. Believe, yield, rebuke, and resist. And amen, Brother Paul, rejoice. Bless God, rejoice that you've been set free. The next one that I would like to look at this morning is the bondage of music. The bondage of music. This is not a lesson on right music, young people. I want to deal with the wrong. Satan is the master of all masters of music. Satan is the master of all masters of music. He was the anointed cherub that covereth. Ezekiel 28 verse 13 says this of him: the workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. Now that word tabrets and that word pipes, that's talking about musical instruments. And it seems, as I look into those verses, that when God made Lucifer, the anointed cherub, the cherub that covereth, He made him with musical instruments built into his being so that he could exalt and worship and honor and glorify the God of heaven before the throne continually. But that instrument of highest form of worshipful music has fallen to the lowest hell. And his music has fallen with him, young people. His music has fallen with him. Satan is using music to control and possess thousands and thousands of youth in this our day that we live in. He knows what he's doing. His design is very clear. He is a master musician, and he is using music to dupe and stoop and destroy and degrade a whole generation of young people. He's using music to do it. There are now pages and pages of documented testimonies of youth who grew up in Christian homes. Youth just like you sitting here, who have been possessed by demons as they were listening to rock music. They have been possessed by demons as they were listening to rock music. You are playing with a rattlesnake, young person. You are playing with a rattlesnake. And again, simple youth, you know, simple youth, meaning untaught, ignorant. You don't understand. You don't see the whole picture. And in your youthfulness, you think you know more than what you really know. That is a dangerous place to be. If I were you, I'd get under some authority. But simple youth, play their games. Play with fire. Go test these things out. Flip on the radio. Buy things they shouldn't buy. Sneak into their bedroom with their Walkmans at night and listen to this stuff. And I tell you, they are playing with fire. Deadly fire. Poison. And many have been destroyed by it. Young man comes to his pastor on Sunday morning, scared. Face white. He says, "Pastor, I need help." "What's wrong, son?" "I'm being compelled every Sunday. I feel this strong compulsion inside of me to slit the throat of one of the young ladies in the youth group. Please help me." Now, where in the world did that come from? Sit him down. Start asking questions. Start digging. Start searching. Get honest, boy. Be honest. Open up. Where have you been? What have you been doing? Finally, the whole thing comes out. Trace it right back to a certain rock group that he just thought it would be really neat to see what kind of music this is that he heard about from some other youth. And here he ends up I mean literally being possessed with a devil that is consuming his mind and driving him to the place where he's scared. I'm going to do it. I know it's wrong, but I can't help myself. And in that scared condition, he had enough sense to go to the pastor. That's what rock music does, young people. You say, well, Brother Denny, you're just trying to scare us. How many stories would you like me to give you? How many do you need? Satan is the master of music. He knows how to use music to open up the heart. And at a moment of time, with the heart opened up to who knows what, in comes a devil into that person's life. Satan is a master of music. He knows how to open the heart by using music. And then when the heart is open, he preaches his blasphemy, his utter wickedness into the heart of that individual until they are consumed with wicked thoughts. He is a master. Stay away from this stuff, young people. Don't flirt with it. Get your hand off the radio knob. Quit surfing on the radio. It's just poison. And I'm telling you, you're playing with fire. Christian rock, up there along with, you know, Christian witchcraft. Christian rock is also very dangerous stuff, young people. Very dangerous. African drummers who for years called devils up in demon ceremonies in Africa, get converted, come to America, sit in the front seat of somebody's car, and listen to the Christian radio station and sit there aghast at the Christian music they're hearing, because they hear and know the sound of the drum beat that calls up the devils. And they're totally shocked. What is this stuff doing on here? Is this Christian, they ask? I wonder who is Darkest Africa, huh? Why are they calling the devils? They innocently ask. Many Christian youth are led into the bondage of very evil music by taking the path of country music, country gospel music, Christian rock, and it never satisfies. It doesn't tantalize the flesh enough. That's not good enough. We've got to have more. Now that doesn't good enough. I've got to have more. And before they know it, they're in the depths of all of the wickedness of the rock music, which is being inspired by devils. I tell you, many of those artists are possessed. How could you do it? Young people, listen to me. Would you, if you knew there was a certain place where a man was going to speak who's possessed with a devil, would you go sit there and listen to him? Of course you wouldn't. Why would you turn that kind of music on? Quit flirting with it. It's dangerous stuff. Go to the pure, worshipful, harmonious, melodious music which calls the Spirit of God into your life and draws your heart to worship and adore the God of heaven. Go for that kind of music. It's time to burn some tapes and CDs before the Lord. Amen. I mean Ephesus, Acts chapter 19, downtown Ephesus. Burn those things before the Lord. Renounce the whole thing. I want nothing to do with that. I'm not going to touch that stuff again. That's what you need to do. Do it before the Lord and rebuke the enemy out of your life. This is nothing to play with. If you're in those things, I want to encourage you. God brought you here to set you free from your wicked music. He brought you here for that. I promise you. He brought you here. You may be sitting here saying, what does he know? He's old. Listen, I know. That was my God before I got converted. I know what I'm talking about. I'm not some old fogey. I'm a hippie. And God delivered me from all of that stuff. And I'm telling you, I know what you're playing with, and you're playing with fire. Fire. And you get burnt. I tell you, you'll get burnt. The next one we're going to look at this morning is moral bondages. Moral bondages. Let's turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And I know, as I'm sharing some of these things here this morning, probably many, many of you are nowhere near that. But you all have your weak moments. Those times when you're just a little disheartened and you're off by yourself and you're going down the road. And I'm just here to be one more voice to warn you in those weak moments. Don't do it. Don't do it. It is not a little fling into a different kind of music. Moral bondages. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3, 4, and 5 are some beautiful verses concerning this subject. God says to us in verse 3 of chapter 4, "For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God." Aren't those beautiful verses? That every one of you would know how to possess your vessel. This is my vessel. This is your vessel. The body you live in is your vessel. And God says, it is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you would know how to possess your vessel in sanctification and honor. Set apart completely. Not trapped in all of the lusts of the Gentile world. And young people, I'm here to tell you this morning, it is the will of God that you also can possess your vessel in such a way that you are not trapped in all the lusts of this world around us. God has called you to be set apart for Him. The word fornication, the Greek word for fornication is porneia. That's where we get our word pornography, by the way. Porneia. The root word of the Greek word porneia is porne, which is translated harlot. Fornication, just a general definition, means to indulge in unlawful lust. To indulge in unlawful lusts. A Christian who is clear and clean fits into the category of what God says about man in Hebrews chapter 2. "Thou hast made man a little lower than the angels and crowned him with glory and honor." God has given man a dignified place of honor to walk upon this earth. But man, if he follows the lusts of his flesh, can degrade himself down to such a place to do things that even the animals wouldn't do. Even the animals don't do the filthy things that man can do when he falls from his honorable state. God wants you to possess your vessel in sanctification, in honor. in dignity and in honor. Young men, young ladies, in dignity and honor. Walking free from all the filth and the lusts that are in this world. A few that young people face, not just young people, but we're here today. Self-abuse, that is masturbation. That is not right, young people. Fantasizing, that is watching evil in the theater of your mind. That's fantasizing. Watching evil in the theater of your mind is fantasizing, young people. We mentioned bestiality the other day, but I just want to put it on the list here today. That is a filthy, filthy, unclean thing. Pornography. Pornography. If you follow the Old Testament principle and teaching, in the Old Testament, God called it uncovering the nakedness of another. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy mother, of thy father's wife, of thy sister, and on, God says in the Old Testament. Pornography, the literal definition of the word pornography is looking at harlots. Romantic novels. Unlawful romantic lustings of the heart and mind. That's what romantic novels are, young people. Fornication is falling into sexual immorality. Homosexuality and lesbianism, which is sodomy according to the Bible, Romans chapter 1. Men with men, women with women, is all kinds of manner of uncleanness and degradation. I want to remind you again, young people, that this is a progressive, gradual fall into bondage. See? And that's how the devil gets his victims, may I say. He knows he's not going to be able to take somebody like you in this room today and drop you down here at the end of this filth and degradation that I've mentioned. He knows he's not going to be able to just drop you into the middle of that. He's got to get you way down here, the other end of the scale, and little by little by little by little lead you into a snare. He knows that. Somewhere in the middle of these steps downward, young people, filthy, unclean spirits get involved. I can't tell you exactly where, but I just know they get involved because I work in the prayer rooms where the people are in bondage. And many times, not all the time, but many times, they're so bound, I mean, it's just like the cat and the mouse again. The devil takes them captive at his will, any old time he wants to. They are totally controlled in these things. Young people, you can walk free of these things. I'm here to tell you this morning, you do not have to live in any of this stuff. Not one bit of it. Not one bit of it. Young man was sharing a testimony with me. He was talking to somebody else who was struggling with some of these issues. And the young man said, "Are you free?" And he said, "Sure." "How long?" "Years." He said, "You mean you're free for years?" "Yeah, I'm free for years." He didn't know you could be. I'm here to tell you, young people, you do not have to be bound up in these lusts. God has a better way for you. But I'm also here to tell you, there's only one way you're going to get it. And it's underneath the sovereign God of the universe. You stay over there, you can walk free of all these things. Promise! Promise you can! It is sin. And you can be free indeed from sin. It is the work of the devil. And Jesus was manifested to destroy the works of the devil. Hallelujah! I'm here to tell you today, I'm here to give you some hope. Yeah, I know I'm speaking pretty strong to you, but I'm also here to give you some hope. You do not have to live in those things anymore. Don't stop until you're free. And I'll tell you what, for some of you, it'll make a man of God out of you or a woman of God out of you. And isn't that what you wanted anyway? How do you think that comes? It'll make a man of God out of you or a woman of God out of you. You do not have to be a slave to the passions of your flesh. For most in this room, and I know this again, the battlefield is right here. That's where the battlefield is. It's right here. And I mean that on both sides of the room. The battlefield is right here. We'll say more why I say that a little later. You can walk free. Whatever it is. Self-abuse, fantasizing, pornography, romance novels. Burn them, girls. Burn them. Burn them. And all the other things. You can walk free of them. Here are the issues, young men, young ladies. For you boys, it's the lust of looking that leads you into major bondage. For the young ladies, it is the lust of being looked at that leads you into bondage. Did you hear me? It is the lust of being looked at. There really isn't any difference. There really isn't any difference. Young men, leave the pornography behind. If you have been in that, you need to fall on your face and break your heart before God. Don't you know? It'll burn a hole in you. It'll burn a hole in you that will cause you struggles the rest of your life. Get out of it. God has something better for you. That is not possessing your vessel in dignity and honor. Come on. Let's be a man. Stand up and walk with God. And leave that filthy stuff behind. It's going to ruin you. I'm telling you, it is ruining some of you. You know it. Young ladies, quit hanging out in front of the mirror so much, girls. Something not right. Something not right about that. Always in front of the mirror. Always worried about how you look. Something not right about it. The lust of being looked at will direct the way you dress, young ladies. It will direct your hands when you get your hand on the material and the sewing machine. It will direct the way you walk. The lust of being looked at. Shame on you, girls. Shame on you. Don't you judge the boys. If you're flitting around with your little dresses on and you know that you put that thing on and your slit is there because you want it there and it's tight in the places where you wanted it to be tight because you like the boys looking at you, shame on you. That's not right. Can I just be your papa for a few minutes? That's not right. For some in this room, you're probably in a major moral bondage. And, again, God brought you here so that you can get free. So that you can get free. You do not have to live in that. You say, I'm so bound, I don't know how to get out of it. Call for help. God will deliver you. You do not have to live there. Those of you that are in bondage, I fear for you. I fear for you. I fear that someday you're going to wake up in hell and this filthy, vile, smelly, hairy creature is going to walk up to you with open arms and say, welcome. And you say, who are you? And he'll say, oh, didn't you know? I'm your lover. And join hands and walk hand to hand into the darkness of eternity with that filthy, unclean beast. And young people, scary as that may sound, when you go down the road of immorality and get into bondage, I wish that I could let you see what that filthy creature looks like that is tracking you day after day. I wish you could get one look at that filthy thing. You wouldn't want to be near it. But, again, they lie. Oh, it's a beautiful girl. Oh, it's a handsome man. No, it isn't. No, it isn't. You track down that road long enough, and that beautiful girl is going to be a filthy, vile creature. And that is the bottom line. Quit playing with fire, young people. In your simple ignorance, quit playing with fire. Free yourself from these things. There's a war going on, and the bounty is the souls of men. You join hands with him and walk out into the darkness and blackness of night for eternity. It's time to get serious and repent. I know. Pretty strong. I know that. But I'm just warning you. Stay away. Young men, get free. Young ladies, get free. I beg you, you girls, burn those novels. Burn them. Listen to me. If you go into an evil man's house, you will find pornography. Because men go by the sight of the eye. But if you go into an evil woman's house, do you know what you will find there? You will not find pornography, you'll find romance books. Do you know that? That's what you will find there. Burn them! I don't care if they do say Christian across them. That's a trick to get you to let your emotions go after that guy in the book and after that guy in the book, and you're supposed to save those for one man. Burn them! I really want to encourage you to do that. Just burn them. All right. One more yet we're going to cover here today. And that is, I feel God impressing this upon my heart to just speak to you a little bit about eating disorders. Eating disorders. Anorexia and bulimia. Maybe some of you boys don't even know what that is. How many of you know what that is? Let me see your hands. Okay? Anorexia and bulimia. It's one of the greatest deluges upon this country of America these days. Anorexia is starving the body. Bulimia is overeating with gluttony in your heart and then vomiting it all out so that you don't gain any weight from your gluttony. The roots of these are self-centeredness, the lust of being looked at, and gluttony. Their beginnings are ignorance. They're ignorance. Most people have no idea what they're getting into when they start down the road. But I'm telling you, the other end of the road, you won't be able to get loose on your own. I promise you, you will not be able to get loose. The other end of the road is demonic bondage. Happens all the time. And death. Listen to this. More people die in America of anorexia and bulimia than those who commit suicide. And there are thousands and thousands who commit suicide. All it is, anorexia and bulimia, all it is slow suicide. That's what it is. These things are found mostly in women because of the lusts of being looked at. It is found mostly in women. Again, it is a gradual thing, but somewhere along the descent downward, the individual loses control and they cannot stop starving or binging themselves. And we're not talking about a little issue here, young people. Thousands of young people are caught in this snare. And some of you have this stuff going on inside of you. I know it. The cause of it all? Hollywood? The fashion world? The Barbie dolls? All the health kick, you know, that America's on, you know, you got to be slim and trim, you know, and all this. That's the cause of it all. That's where the beginning is. By the way, did you know that Russia would not allow the Barbie doll into their land? Did you know that? They didn't want that crazy harlot doll in their land. But I don't think it was because it's a harlot doll. I think it's because it was absolutely unnatural and impossible for anybody to look like Barbie. But here are all these little girls in America playing with Barbie dolls all their life. And you know what? Play is practice for future living. And they get this crazy thing in their head that you have to be just like an hourglass, and if you're not, there's something wrong with you. And it is a lie and a deception from the enemy. This creates an inordinate affection or lust to be thin and beautiful. And then here come the diet programs and the exercise programs and the pills and all that stuff to try to help you be that. And listen to this now. You throw that standard into a gluttonous America, okay? The standard of looking like this. You throw that standard into a gluttonous America, guess what you get? Bulimia. Eat and eat and eat and eat until I'm so stuffed, and then I don't want to get fat, you know, but I'm a glutton, so just vomit it all out and start all over again. Listen, you are playing with fire. You are playing with fire. And the end is destruction for you. You say, Brother Denny, what are you saying that stuff to us for? I'm just tapping on your door. I believe multitudes of young ladies in America have this stronghold built up in their mind of what they're supposed to be. And their life is consumed with trying to keep everything just right. And I don't think they realize the trap that they can fall into by this inordinate affection to be thin and beautiful because you want the boys to look at you. By the way, diets are a miserable bondage. God has a much better way than that, which I'll tell you about a little later. This thing slowly becomes a consuming, inordinate passion which brings unnatural behavior, and the end of it is bondage and even death. And by the way, it's nothing new, young people. India has had these devils for centuries. Every year, tens of thousands of people in India starve themselves to death. Only they do it for a religious reason. See? The devil over there, he put on a religious cloak, and they think it's holy to starve themselves down to nothingness until they die. Over here, he put on a different cloak. He put on the cloak of fashion. But I guarantee you, the end is the same. Death. It is a stronghold of lies which has exalted itself against the knowledge of God. And it needs to be smashed down to the ground. And some of you are laying blocks for this stronghold in your life, even as you're here today. That thing needs to be broken. Those kind of mindsets are not good. Danger. Danger is what lies ahead for you. Now I want to say this. I'm not saying that you should be fat. I'm not saying that. God has a better way than all that stuff. Moderation. Try that for a while. Spirit-controlled eating. Try that for a while. Fasting and prayer for the sake of others. Try that for a while. Leave all those diets behind and just begin to walk with God. Just begin to walk with God. And this whole stuff, you know, it's got to be like, it's got to be just perfect, and I've got to be thin and all this stuff. I'm telling you, something is not right with it. Let's come into the middle, young people. Let's come into the middle. It's a bondage. A miserable bondage. Do you know how many young people drag themselves down because they didn't lose that weight? Do you know how many of them get on a scale? And I mean, their heart is gripped with despair and fear when they get on the scale. That's not right. It's not right. And it won't come out right. Now, not everybody's going to end up in a hospital bed somewhere. But I'm telling you, if that kind of stuff is going on inside of you, you need to break that thing down. That is a stronghold that has exalted itself against the knowledge of God. That is not how God sees you, and that is not what God thinks about your body. Guaranteed. Let us give ourselves to God and yield to His ways and free ourselves from this bondage. It is demonic. It is slow suicide. And it will end in destruction. There she lay on the hospital bed, barely moving. Her weight is 69 pounds. Her heartbeat is 75% below normal. She's dying of starvation. That's what they all say, all the nurses and the doctors. She's dying of starvation. There's a plate of food in front of her that she's unable to eat, even though she's dying of starvation. And the natural inclinations of her human body would crave that food. There is a power that has overcome that young lady that is so powerful that it has bound the natural inclinations of her body, and she can't eat the food, though she's dying. The heartbeat is slowing down. And there's nothing she can do about it. Though the food sits right in front of her eyes, there's not a thing she can do about it. She's going to die, and she's going to go into destruction. And thousands of them die just like that every year. They starve themselves to death. It's happening all over this country. Repent. Renounce. Believe that you can be free. Yield to the God of heaven. Come under the Sovereign One with all your heart and all your soul. Bring every area of your life underneath His control. Resist and rebuke the enemy if you need to. And free yourselves from these things, young people. There's a war going on. And God is looking for soldiers. Let's stand together for prayer. God, our Father, we bow before You again. And we just pray, committing these young people into Your care. You are the chief shepherd over every one of these young people. God, I pray, You, by Your Spirit, will speak to each and every heart where they're at, God. I know there's not a lot of them that are in the extremes that I've spoken about. But, oh God, I pray and I trust You that You will speak to them where they are at. If there is anything in their life, God, I trust You, You will do that. Take care of these lambs, Father. I trust them into Your care and into the care of Your Spirit, Your Holy Spirit. And I pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Okay, you can be seated.